What's happening, boys? We're all good?
Evening.
I don't know, but good.
How's the week has gone on? Hey, well, let's be positive. We've got loads to be positive about. Sunday was a kick in the teeth, but let's try and look at the positives. Laying the foundations for future glories, Kev, no?
Exactly, mate. You know, we've got to look forward.
Exactly. Tam, what's been happening?
Not much, mate. Not much. I was insanely hungover going to... I don't know why I said insane there. That's weird. Okay, just start the pod again.
Totally rad, man.
I had a total rad day out at your races on Saturday, so I was very hungover.
You didn't kick Cliff Hollies when Nathaniel Atkinson didn't talk
to me. That was it, mate. I had my Vans on and I don't know what else skater boys do and stuff. But I was at the races on Saturday.
Big shout out to Ginge for the community chat, who is the Vans ambassador. Loves Vans, doesn't he?
Does.
We've had that chat on there.
I actually missed that.
For that chat.
I would maybe went in the same lane and said how much I love Vans, but you've got another Vans lover here, so that's fine.
There we go. Vans lover. There you go. There's the name of this podcast for anybody that needs to know. It's called Vans lover. Right, Ando, what's been happening?
Not much. I'm just curious about Tam, though. What's the point of you going to your races? You're famously tighter than a duck's arse. There's no way you'd have put money on a horse.
Well,
he was protesting. He was did the stop oil thing.
There actually was protesters at the front. There's a few boys that listened to the podcast. Were on it. They were like, should you not be joining them protest? And I was like, fuck you guys. So I
horses aren't lasagna. Horses are more than glue. Like pure greeting.
How much?
And you're about the same height as a jockey.
Actually, my great granddad was a jockey. Genuinely, there you go.
Well, that's weird.
You're right, your granddad was a jockey.
Great granddad, but aye, there you go.
Runs the same height as a jockey, but the same weight as a horse.
There's no way that could stay in, but fuck it, that was funny.
To be fair, it ties in.
No, we'll just bleep it.
The stag, I could send you a photo. I'll send it to community chat as well, but the stag was dressed as a knob jockey for the races on Saturday, so it's fine. That could stay in.
I feel less proud of my joke now, knowing that your groupie mates thought that was patter. I've probably went down a notch in my... If they think it was funny, it's probably funny.
How much did you bet on horses? How much did you spend? Five.
I took 40 quid and lost 40 quid.
Came home with 50. Found a tenner and came home with 50.
Oh, amazing.
Well, that was decent. Oh, well. And unfortunately, you're going to have to tell the viewers that you're not getting a season ticket next year because my streak broke, which is fine. I no longer have to wear two jackets. Mm-hmm. I no longer have to write in this notepad and I no longer have to use a red pen because the sequence is broke. It's dead. I can now buy a new pen, buy a new notepad, wear normal clothes to the football. You, however, attended the game on Sunday and we lost once again.
Aye, but I thought it was only just when I attend Tynecastle.
No, is it now just when you attend Hearts games, unfortunately?
Might be. So I don't know. I am not going to be without a season ticket because obviously the 15 billion people that are on the waiting list will steal my seat. I'm still going to buy it. I'm just not going to go ever, probably. I don't know how I'm going to break the cycle. It's going to have to be an absolute nonsense game that doesn't matter.
I did say come up for the live game. Mm-hmm. It was your opportunity to break the cycle, and you couldn't make it. So now you're.
I think he was actually there for the first 25 minutes of the game, and then went and left.
Actually, Kev, I can neither confirm nor deny that is the case, but you might be close to the truth. I'm not even joking.
I know. Right. Well, we'll have to think about what we do going forward because I can't have you ruining Heart seasons. So we'll need to think it. I'll maybe get the club to arrange a friendly or something. Play Tam's pals face stag the Tynecastle. break the cycle.
We'll wait until we'll get third in the bag, which will happen sooner rather than later, and then in a nonsense game against a mediocre outfit that doesn't matter, whoever I know we'll cover the post split fixtures shortly, but I'll pick one of the games and I'll go. That'll be it.
You're going to be at Helicopter Sunday on the last game of the season where we have to beat Rangers to finish third.
Oh, no.
Because come on, an unbelievable run.
I'll get a flight to South Africa just to get as far away as possible from Tynecastle just to make sure.
You're furthest away. I will not allow it. You will not be allowed at the game.
Absolutely fair.
Cool. Right, well, obviously we'll review the game for Sunday. We'll talk about the semi-final, what went wrong, what was good about it, bad about it, how do we build on it, where do we go from there. We'll talk about the, obviously, top six. We know the fixtures now, who we're playing. We've got a third away game to St Mirren. We have to go to Paisley again for the third time in the season. We'll preview Kilmarnock, first game of the split on Saturday. Chance to cement third. And then we'll do a bit of a points haul for how much points do we think we'll get for the top six. I also have a tam down for yous, which will be fun and games for yous. And I will just talk a whole load of nonsense in between. Sound good?
Sure does.
Perfect.
Cool. We fixed the issues that we were having with big with the website. I know that we've had a load of folk try to buy the new merch, etc., and not been able to. So we have now switched the platform to a more stable platform. We're on Big Cartel now, so you should, touch wood, have a better experience. We've sorted all the gremlins and got it fixed. So a shameless plug, go buy some of our merch. That would be class if you don't mind.
Just this is my story.bigcartel.com. Right. Is that right, Andrew?
Oh, seamless, Tam, well except you made an arse of it and seamless. Got the link wrong.
Well done. And also, well, to be fair, I was back on Twitter for the first time in about 18 months and Tam sent me the login details and sent me the wrong @, which was fun. Because he said it was @ This Is My Story Pod, which obviously it's famously This My Story Pod. Because we have someone else who got to the handle before us. Useless.
Change the name. That's it.
I know. Let's change all of it. we'll revisit it the close season and see if we kind of get it better. Right. Will we do a tam down first, or do you want to do the headlines first?
I say do the tam down first.
Yep, let's go with it.
Right. Okay. Everybody, hands on heed. Well,
you didn't have to do it.
I don't know why I got my hands on my head. I'm doing it. Doesn't make any sense. Right.
Pardon you.
Ando, you can go. We have got the game is the last time that we beat Rangers 1-0 in the Scottish Cup.
When was that? Go.
Ages ago, like it feels like.
I couldn't even tell you. Jamie Walker.
Daniel Stendel was the manager.
Ah, right, okay.
Maybe beat them twice. Right, Jamie Walker.
Yeah, I actually think Jamie Walker was on the bench. There you go. He got a point.
Excellent.
There you go. Right, Kev.
So again, working cleverly to make sure that Tam has got no chance. I'll take the goal scorer for that particular game, which I believe was Buzanic.
Oli Buzanic is correct.
I actually didn't think that was a goal scorer, so I don't even know why I'm complaining. That's fine. Maybe I'm thinking of the second game, because I was pretty sure it was a certain striker's first game.
Yeah, wrong game.
Okay,
mate.
Cool. Thanks, man. I didn't answer it. It's fine. We would have had... Did Christoph Berra play, or was he chucked by that point? Let's say Christoph Berra.
Christoph Berra... No. Back to you, Ando.
Slamal.
Correct. Kev.
Again, to try and make sure that Tam doesn't get anybody, I'll take Naismith.
Correct.
I'll go Sean Clare.
Correct.
Boise.
Was on the bench.
He played though. He came on. Aye.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it doesn't matter where they played. No, he was on the bench, so you get a point.
Good.
Mikey Smith?
No. Oh, yes. I scrolled past. Yes, he was there.
Who's your turn? Right.
Just because he played a lot under him, Lewis Moore. Is that his name?
Yes.
John Suter.
Correct.
If they're still been part of the team at the time, I think Aaron Hickey.
Correct.
Who is still there?
It's sure short, Tam, just in case.
I know.
And if people listening and thinking that we've disappeared, it's not Tam.
Connor Washington.
Correct.
Greg Halkett.
Correct.
How many have we got to go?
A few.
Loads.
Got left back, right back. Oh, what's his name was there? Damour.
Oh, God. The French bomb.
Correct.
Ollie Lee?
No.
Ah.
The other Ollie was there, though. Bozanić.
He's been said.
We've said him.
Oh, okay,
said
him. Was this sub goalkeeper would have been Popham Hands.
Correct.
Who else was still at the time? Bloody hell. Was Henderson still there, or we loaned him out in that January window?
Is that an answer or a question?
No, I'm going to go with Henderson.
Correct. Thomas.
Well, I'm struggling. There's someone stuck in my head, and I just can't think his name. So I'm just going to give you his hint. But that Australian left back we had, can't remember his name. So I'm just going to pass.
Peter Hansberry can see them as well, Tam. I'm not entirely convinced that you're...
That's going to annoy me. What was his name?
That's what I mean. What?
Ben Garuccio is the guy you're thinking of.
But you're also incorrect.
Ah, okay, cool. How can I cheat anyway with passing Ando? That's just mental in its sense.
You what, Sonny?
You said you can't see my hands, but would you just pass?
You can still be cheating. You probably just know grasped how to cheat, so... Yeah. I mean, they're all normal possibilities. You could have the answers in front of you and still be making an absolute it's what you did, Dan.
I'd love to be able to have a response to that, but you're spot on.
I do need to put my hands down just to write down the time of the C-bomb, because, and I blame you for that, Tam, because if you wouldn't act like an arsehole, we wouldn't have to call you. Can I go with I'm going to be struggling now. Machino, would he have been there or thereabouts? Ah, he would have been, actually. I don't know if he played, though.
He was on the bench.
Right.
Forgot he was even there.
What was it? Yotaro Machino, or whatever his name was.
Your favourite Corbett, Biguchi?
Incorrect.
Remember,
Berra and Uche got bombed, didn't they?
Yeah.
Aye, but I wasn't quite sure when that actually happened.
I think we're missing a striker, to be honest. But
I think you've done the full first team. So you've just got a couple more on the bench.
So
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Tam, sure go. Hey, chap.
Too many there. There you go, Tam.
Another that probably was bombed by them, but was Aaron Hughes still kicking about?
No.
Good.
He probably was still kicking about. We were in the match they scored.
Has Apologies, because I've not been writing anything down as we go, because I'm not used to being on the receiving end of this. Has anyone mentioned Big Clevid?
Why? Nobody's mentioned him.
Di Camona.
Wait there, let's scroll past it, let me have a look. Yes.
One.
So what, we're waiting on one more?
Yeah, one more.
Barely said any forwards, it has to be a forward, I think, but...
I'm trying to think of the team I'm trying to think of at the moment, because I can't think of anybody else who played in that game against Rangers, was the game, the 3-0 game down at Easter Road, who all played in that one.
It was 3-1.
Well, that last goal didn't count. Nah.
Close enough, Kev. Close enough.
I know, but I can't think of anybody else that we haven't said.
I'll be honest, I'm tapping as well.
Oh, wait a minute. What's the young lad's name that's now... Is he not at West Ham now? Or he's on... He's at West Ham, but on loan back to Germany. What's his name?
I'm telling you, because then you'll get the answer.
I'll give you this one, Kevs. Irving.
Andy Irving.
Yeah, Andy enough. Irving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to a Bundesliga 3 club, and then they folded or something, didn't they?
Right. Last one, Tam.
In fact, did he... But wait a minute. Did he play in that game?
He was on a badge.
Because I remember him playing on a badge. Okay. All right.
Last one, Tam.
I remember playing him in a head game.
Skip. Yeah. Ando.
So, what was the question?
Just last
one. Oh, no, mate, I'm out. I can't think of anything else. If I'm in the lead and I've won, then that's fine. I'll just set it out rather than bust my head.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, Kev, you can get one, you can tie him. Tam, you, unsurprisingly, you're not in the running.
Did I get a handicap in this?
Yep.
No.
No, mate.
No, because that's what makes it entertaining.
Nah, I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anybody that we've not already said, let's put it that way.
Okay. Does anybody want to take a stab at any Rangers players that might have been playing?
Rangers players.
Just for you.
Hey, well done, Tam. You win. You get the bonus point.
Yay.
Tavernier.
Scott Arfield.
Who was
from
the player?
Downtown. Right. Let's rock and roll.
Who was the one we missed off?
Come on. Can he just hold us like this?
No, he did. I was kidding on. He's got them all.
Oh.
And you won.
Yes. This is becoming an ugly habit. Ugly
being
the right word.
Oh. Right. Next one. Headlines. 150 years of history. For the 20th time in our history, Hearts failed to beat Rangers at Hampden, making it 0 wins in 150 years versus Rangers at Hampden. Tam, we're all in the chewing the Hearts, so we've all spoke about it. What was your take of the mentality, or how do we fix it, or what's wrong? How do we make it better?
It's a hard one, because obviously there is sort of like your financial gulf, even just your sort of mentality issue that Rangers go into these games and they know how to win these games. They've been there before, and the fans' expectation compared to what ours, although we were obviously quite expecting going into the game. I thought in the lead up to the game, and like even just when the team was announced type thing, it was the right... We're not talking performance yet, are we? Because we're going to go into that, I'm assuming. Is that right?
No, we'll talk performance later. Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things, and I think Nielsen probably summed it up well when he talked about immaturity. And I think it was George Grant. I seen an interview with him saying we've got the second youngest team in the league as well. Might be coming down to that. And it is that mentality shift we need to sort of get over to have no fear to go into these games. Ultimately, I felt we got beat by decision-making. So it comes down to that and taking chances. Look at Dessers. He has 2 chances in the game. are free except for that silver thing, and he takes them at the time they're needed, and that's what we need to get. Like,
yeah, we'd spoke on the community chat that we've just done. It'll be available on YouTube as well and audio if anybody wants to listen to it, about the mentality of Rangers and Celtic. Like, Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs, we don't win those games. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, Celtic and Rangers go to penalties, they'll win the penalties. They have a mentality where they just, it's not an option to lose those matches. Yep. At Hampden, getting to Hampden isn't a comfort blanket for them. It's not acceptable. Getting to Hampden and not winning anything isn't a success. They have to win. Whereas actually us as a club, and I'm not saying that it's wrong where we are right now, but if we are looking to switch our mentality and we're looking to grow and become a bigger and more successful team, it's something that we need to change, as the mentality, because win, lose or draw on Sunday, the majority of Hearts fans that were at the game, probably coming away from the game, will look back in a few weeks, months or a year's time and be happy that we just got to Hampden. They'll have seen it as just getting there than actually winning something. And that's a mentality thing I think has to change. What do you think?
I agree. I think you're right in terms of, like, the Rangers fans, that win for them on Sunday. Why are you laughing at? Come on.
I agree. Like,
no, I was... Let me talk. No, I was... but I think even them going away on Sunday, that's just another day at the office for the Rangers fans. They're not going to go out and celebrate all night. Whereas if we'd won, I'd still be on it, put it that way. But that's sort of the difference. That's their bread and butter. They're used to winning these semi-finals. And you're right, we need to, going forward, if we're going to see improvements, we really need to sort of take that mentality ourselves.
And how do we change it? Because I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, because of where we've been. You look back in our short-term history, you know, you can't win a cup unless you get to these bits, right? So you've got to be in the mix to get it. But there's just a mentality thing where, does it come from the top? Do the fans have to have a readjustment of what is and isn't success? How do you change that culture that seems to be ingrained in the club?
You hit the nail pretty much on the head. For anyone that hasn't listened to our other sister episode, Chewing the Fat, from recorded earlier on this tonight, I'll, at the risk of repeating anything you might have said already, I think what you spoke about during that one was, you're talking about how when we go to play Hibs, there's a switch almost gets flicked within the club to say, right, this is it, absolutely death or glory, do not lose this game. We need to move to that kind of space, which is when you're like getting to Hampden, brilliant, fine, don't treat it as a holiday or a day in the sunshine or a big day out to the big city. It should be a case of, right, we're there, we're going to win it, and everything aligns towards that. So it's a difficult thing to instill, because we've never had that mentality before. But if you've got it for the Hibs games, because of, you know, all the history and all that sort of stuff, we're getting there regularly now, then, and it's just becoming painfully old. I think that is what needs to happen. Get everyone aligned so that it is, right, this is another one of these, treat it like a Hibs game, do not lose. And if you do lose, like, then there'll be consequences, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, what, we've been four of the last six semi-finals in the Scottish Cup. We've been to four cup finals since we last won a trophy in 2012 and lost them all. Like, something has to change. And again, it's that, it cut all of us. We, the fans, the players, the managers. And the positives are that I believe in the manager. When he talks about, he's been there as a player, he knows the culture of the club. He doesn't have to be told. He come out and he'll know, oh, we've not won a game here in X amount of years, or we've not done this, or we've not done that. So he obviously pays attention to the culture. He's been a player, he understands it. And I feel like what he says about changing the mentality of the club is something that I think he'll try and work on. You know, he probably away from the media will be saying to the players that, that's a massive letdown, massive missed opportunity. You don't get these opportunities very often, and we've got to start taking them. But the one you just spoke about there, Ando, I think is the right thing. And when we play Hibs, everybody's attitude changes. We could be bottom of the league, we could be top of the league, we could be mediocre, we could be 10 games unbeaten, 10 games without a win. Doesn't matter. As soon as the focus becomes, we've got Hibs in the next game, everything changes at the football club. The atmosphere, the media, the players respond the way the players act, the fans. We all have total and utter, this game has to be won, regardless. We don't care if we win 1-0 in the last minute, don't care if we win 5-0. Just do not get beat. Getting beat is unacceptable in this game. And that is the mentality of Celtic and Rangers. You know, I laughed about it at the time when I watched it on Saturday. Celtic have been, 1-0 down, 2-1 up, 2 each in the last minute, then 3-2 up in extra time, then 3-3. Their goalkeepers missed the penalty, the winning penalty. Then Aberdeen have missed and they've went through. And when they cut to the crowd, where they obviously thought the fans were going to be celebrating because they'd scored the winning penalty, or Aberdeen had missed the penalty, they were all walking up the stairwells, heading it. Do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter whether you win, doesn't matter when we start, you just win. Doesn't, who cares? It's a semi-final. It's not an achievement getting there. It's getting to the final and getting a trophy. So we do need to change that mentality. Tam, I'll go to you in a minute, Ando, but Tam had his hand up first. What were you saying, Tam?
It's got more of a question for everyone as well, but how realistic do you reckon that mentality shift is? Obviously, you've got like budgets, the difference, league position, the media, what they say coming up to the games. Our players have that preconceived idea because they've been about Scottish football for years and years and stuff like that. And the fans have obviously going to expect in these games not to probably, we think it's going to be a battle. But how realistic, I know you're saying Nasey has that sort of idea to change it and it probably will be behind the scenes, but I just don't know how you change that from historical sort of aspect that we can go into this with no fear. I don't see it. I would love it to be the case, but I just can't see it.
For me, that's a stepping stone, isn't it? It's not something you're going to turn around in one or two games. It's a stepping stone. It's as we've said already in the other show, it's about making steady progress. Now, at the beginning of this season, the likelihood is that the club would have sat down with the management team, and as I said earlier on, you know, Naismith, his dad and his uncle would have sat around that table and would have been told the expectation is to get to at least Hampden once, ideally twice, i.e. a semi-final and then a final, and to get third place and cement, you know, European football again for next season, which means money. But then again, when you get into this summer, effectively it's the same expectation level that's on them, is to get third and to get back to Hampden. But then what you want to be doing in that situation is you want to then be actually saying, you now need to win at Hampden. We've been getting to Hampden regularly, League Cups this season, Scottish Cup this season, Scottish Cup a few years back. It's all the steady progress of actually now you're doing it regularly, now win there. That's the next stepping stone. And when you start to win there, that's when you start to win trophies and put some actual credit behind what you've actually achieved over 2, 3, 4 seasons.
Yeah. And
that's how I look at it.
We're talking about the Hampden thing, right? And just to temper it a wee bit, like the last time we actually lost a game at Hampden outside the Rangers and Celtic is what it would be 2013 against St Mirren in the final. I think we were all at the League Cup final. Now, that isn't really a disaster as long as you're striking Rangers and Celtic out of the record. We happen to have obviously played them a lot more and then we've got Hibs and Inverness who are both beaten, that's fine. So temper it a wee bit with that and saying that the Hampden record isn't a disaster. It's more along the lines of getting back to that old sort of skeleton in the closet of how we do it against Celtic and Rangers. But I totally agree with your point, Kev, which is if we are being consistently better over a long enough timeline, so continuing to get to Hampden, to your point, Tam, I don't think the fans will just sit idly by and say, oh yeah, we've got to Hampden again twice this season and been rattled, right? The fans will naturally have a hunger for winning these games. So I think that part of it, the fan base part of it, will take care of itself. But to Kev's point, you need to be consistently better and get there more often and continue to get there more often. The fan part will come naturally on the back of that, I think.
Well, the fan part's a big thing because obviously the club have backed the fans to get 50-50 ticket splits, and then we've had the charities had to engage to try and shift the last bit. The fans have to change their mentality for this stuff as well, because if we were playing any other side outside the Old Firm, we would have sold that 50-50 ticket split instantly. It'd have been no hassle whatsoever. We could have probably sold more. But we shit the bed as a fan base when it comes to Celtic and Rangers. Look at our Tynecastle attendances when they come into town. Folk just don't show up because they either don't want to see us get beat, or they use excuses that the crowd and the songs they sing and all that. Well, that's gone now. The club have listened. There's only 600 of them versus the 18,000, 19,000 that can be inside Tynecastle. Make more noise in them, you're not hearing them. Like, it's pretty straightforward. For long spells on Sunday when the crowd was engaged and backing the team, I never heard the Rangers fans. You know, I never heard them singing. That's what you do. But we've got to change that culture of shit in the bed and turning from, I didn't know how to word it properly, because if Hearts fans, we know, were the greatest in the world for loads and loads of things. Like, we backed our club unbelievably well. But we've got to get some of these comfort blankets away. Who cares we were in administration 10 years ago? We're no enemy. Like, let's move forward. We have had financial difficulties in the past. We didn't enemy. Let's move on. Like, you've got to get rid of some of these comfort blankets and start being like, actually, we're investing a lot of money in the club. We back the club all the time. Let's show up to some of these games a bit bullish and be like, right, come on in. Let's see what you've got. Instead of just like showing up where it's like, you know, we bring the family, the kids come, a pal, you invite a mate, we go along, and it's just a day out. It's more about the day out than it is about actual going and demanding that the team win. Like, there isn't a single Rangers fan in there, had we won 2-0, that would have left being like, oh, it was a great day, the kids had a brilliant time or whatever. They'd have been like, no, it's not acceptable. We don't lose these matches, and we need to try and flip that mindset and just get a bit more, no, aggressive is the wrong thing, but we need to go to these games a bit more bullish, get the chest puffed out and be like, we're the third biggest club in the country. We're the third best team in the country. Go start showing it. Look at Coventry. Man United. Give Man United the absolute run around. The Man United are dog shit, I get that. But still, they were 3-0 down and thought, well, come on, we've got it. I reckon we could still be playing. Now we know they scored. Rangers could have made it 3-4-0 before any chance of us making it 2-2. Do you know what I mean? And it's that bit where we sort of go resigned to the fact that we're not going to win. And something that there needs to change from the fan base as well. We need to be a bit more engaged, a bit more positive to go and try and get a positive result.
Every one of us predicted a defeat last week.
No, and I'm the same. But we're including that.
You're right.
Kev, I'm the exact same.
You're right.
When it's all said and done, I said after full time in the Aberdeen game, I was delighted. Never felt me a manky in my whole entire life celebrating Celtic win. But I said, that's it done. Do you know what I mean? After the season that we had last year, the collapse, the Robbie Nielsen saga, etc., to bounce back, finish third at a canter, get to the League Cup semi-final, get to the Scottish Cup semi-final. And again, it's no surprise that Aberdeen were at the League Cup semi-final and final and in the Scottish Cup. So the bigger teams got to the latter rounds. That's what we do. And we'll look back at it and say, this has been an absolutely positive season, given the start we had. But we need to change that mentality. Do you know, we need to be, because pressure's good on the players. Naismith has spoke loads about Tynecastle and how you have to engage Tynecastle. It's a difficult place to play. He said numerous times it's the hardest place to play. Like, even by Celtic Rangers, it's really difficult to play at Tynecastle with the crowd because they're so demanding. It's no surprise that one of the things he's changed the biggest about Hearts is we're 2-0 down at home with Robbie Nielsen. We fold, shut up shop, don't lose any more than two. Like, that's fine. We'll deal our cards. with Naismith, we're like, you don't get beat at Tynecastle. We've come back four times from 2-0 down to get a result, whether it be a win or a draw. And it's that mentality thing that we need to see when we're in these big games. It's that puff your chest out, no, this doesn't happen to us. This needs to be fixed. And that's one of the positives, is that Naismith has been really good at talking about fixing all of that stuff. And as it stands right now, we've got no reason to disagree that he won't try and put that right. So, aye, we all need to change. We all need to change our mentality for these games. Right, we'll talk about the actual performance in a wee minute as well. Top six. We've got the fixtures are finally announced after the global warming crisis in Dundee that affected Dundee, but not Dundee United.
He's only the top of the hill.
Aye. Dundee need to sign Alan Titchmarsh or whatever he's called. Get Charlie Dimmock down there.
Monty Don.
Get a nice water feature made out of that big puddle. A nice rockery, wee waterfall or something. That'll look beautiful. But we now know who we're playing. So Kilmarnock away on Saturday, Celtic away the following Saturday. Then we get Dundee at home, St Mirren away for the third time, and then Rangers at home to draw the curtain on the season. Any thoughts on the games? Any disappointments or anything that jumps out at the fixtures?
Is it too controversial if I say that I'm gutted we've not got another derby to play? If we could play another derby but still keep them in the bottom six and, you know, not have them encroach on a position or whatever, no, that would never happen. I don't know, I just love a derby. I'm gutted that there's no four in a season.
Well,
so you wouldn't be able to come anyway.
I can't go either.
Both players would have to sit out.
Are you not allowed?
Of the last derby I was at, they beat us 1-0 at Easter Road and I've not been back. So,
of course, yeah.
Not through choice, but it's the first one was by accident because it was on my cousin's stag do. And then the second one, well, I was like, well, I've not been to the last one and we got beaten. I'm superstitious, so now I can't go until we lose again so I can go back. I don't know why. Why have we both ended up with our first two games in this split away from home? They're away to St Johnstone and away to Ross County. I wonder if there's something happening in town or something, some rugby.
It'll just be the way it all folds out because it's not only us that have got fixture complications, it's the rest of the teams. It'll be something to do with that. And obviously you've got Hibs in the bottom six. They can't play. Hearts and Hibs can't play on the same day. They within Edinburgh both have a home game, so it'll be something to do with that. There'll be a massive complicated formula.
Both at home the same weekend of the 11th, but they're playing the Sunday.
Aye. We have they're actually, to be fair, look, they've got what, St Johnstone away first. If they lose that, Ross County's first game of the split is Livingston. So they win, they relegate Livingston. They lose, they're in trouble. Or, you know, they beat Livy, relegate Livy. They close the gap on potentially Aberdeen, St Johnstone, and if Hibs get beat, it drags Hibs right in it, and then Hibs' next game's away to Ross County. Yeah, it could be in proper serious trouble as well. If they lose that first one. I know. So they are a squeaky bum time, which could be absolutely hilarious.
The bottom six. Bottom six is more entertaining than the top six. It just is. There's so many verminous little rat clubs that I'd like to see drop, and they're all vying for those bottom two positions. It's great.
It would be superb. It would be great value.
I think it's only really one position in it. I don't think anybody expects Livy to get out yet. And I hope you're all right with that, Tam. You know,
for the guys only on the audio, he's sitting with his hands and he doesn't know what to talk about. Look, he's agreeing.
You like shit. Just want Livy back.
I just want Livy back.
They'll not be back for a long time.
Hopefully they never come back. That would be superb and teach you all a lesson for supporting what is essentially a car park for a shopping centre. Get it up, boys. Anyway.
That's some PTSD from working there for 20 years or whatever. It's just coming straight out.
That's true. That's true. Right. We talk about the semi-final then.
Go on then.
What's that?
Well, Sunday, Rangers 2, Hearts 0. Was there anything, Tam? We've already talked, me, Ando and Kev, about the pre-game stuff. Was there anything starting 11 that jumped out that you thought was a bit of a shock that you would have preferred to have seen different?
Absolutely. I would have liked to have seen Cochrane in and swapped Kingsley and Rills, personally. I would have, that would have been the change I would have had. But I don't know what was up with Cochrane. I did see something about it, meant to read it, forgot to read it. Anyone know?
What is your Rills comment after the fact, or would you have stuck to your guns with that pre-game?
Actually, no, I did say this in the pub pre-game. I will admit to you. I just think Kingsley's been one of our best players this season, and he's predominantly been playing left centre half, so pretty happy with him there. But certainly after the game, I would still agree with that, definitely. But yeah, no, I would like, I think Cochrane's on that big pitch as well. I think he would have given us more of an attacking threat than Kingsley offered. That was pre-game as well, thinking that.
So maybe I miff this big pitch thing at Hampden, isn't it? It's a big stadium, but it's not a big pitch.
Do you think so? It's quite long.
It's not that much bigger than the parks that we play on most weeks. I'm sure I've seen someone on Twitter put the dimensions up. It's a big stupid stadium that's ridiculous. You're too far away and it makes it look massive. But I don't think the actual pitch dimensions are drastically or hugely bigger than what we're used to playing on, if I'm being honest.
You might be right. That running track just spoils everything about it, so could be.
It is the worst stadium in Scotland. I'd rather go watch games.
Without a doubt.
The City Cab or whatever it's getting called now. Whatever the spaghetti had has been renamed.
It's
horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. So, first half, what was your thoughts on it, Tim?
Obviously, you're going expectant, and as Hearts do in big games in recent years, we lose an early goal. Bunch of errors coming into it as well. I just thought we didn't really... You want to see somebody just take the... We talk about mentality and stuff, but somebody just needs to put someone on their arse quite quickly on. There was, for the goal especially, there was opportunities to clear that ball straight out of the park. We're trying to sort of play it out, and it causes a goal early on, and then game plans goes to shit from there. After the goal, to be fair, I don't think there was much between the two teams, personally. We had the Kent opportunity from the Shankland cross, but was that offside in replays? I heard something about that on the radio.
Would have been aye.
Yeah, aye. Cool. So we done all right, but I thought first half we could have put more of a glove on them. There wasn't many opportunities from that. Second half, obviously, we had the opportunity to create more opportunities, if that makes sense. But first half, I didn't think there was very much between the two teams. I thought Cantwell absolutely ran the show from the kickoff, to be honest, and we gave him too much space to begin with, and it never really changed from there on in. But I don't know what you feel.
Yeah, I think Kev, we've spoke about it, but that's a poor Rangers side, isn't it? We've all lived through being beat by unbelievable Rangers sides where you've just had to go, what do you want us to do? Like, that's just what happens. But this is as poor a Rangers team as I can remember.
I agree with you. I think if you take Tav out because of penalties and all the goals that he scored and everything else, and you in 10, 15 years' time turn around to a Rangers fan and sort of say, do you remember the boy Cantwell? I don't really expect them to be, yes, I do, like people would have remembered a Trevor Stephen, a Paul Gascoigne, Brian Loudrop, all these kind of players that Rangers have had in the past. And, you know, there's probably enough Rangers fans out there that saying that Cantwell couldn't even lace a Brian Loudrop or a Gascoigne's, you know, boots. And they are a fairly poor Rangers side, which then asks, you know, another question of us at the end of the day. Does that then mean that we are a poorer side than we were back in a 2012, a 2006, a 98? Possibly we are. And then a bigger question is, Are we really just treading water in regards to the way in which we play? I don't know. But yeah, I think the other disappointing thing was that with regards to the game on Sunday, we all spoke about it last week. Go and close them down.
100%.
Shut them down. You know, be to an extent aggressive. I don't think we really imposed that kind of level of game. Even losing an early goal, I still think you could have still been aggressive in the first 25, 30 minutes. That's not to say we had a bad 25, 30 minutes, because we still created stuff, which is surprising, really, because we don't tend to when we do play against Rangers. It's just that decision-making in the last third.
And I think the difference on Sunday is quality. You get what you pay for, right? As much as we're saying, I don't think Cantwell and Lundstrom and Dessers and all these guys are like world beaters of Van Bronckhorst and the De Boers and all these guys that we've had before at Rangers, etc. But when you're comparing them to Benny, whose only first team experience is playing for Hearts, you know, he played for Everton reserves. When you're comparing Devlin to Cantwell, you know, Devlin's, all of his experience has come through the A-League in Australia versus Cantwell that's played in the Premier League. So I think that, Fernando, that was for me, it's just it's the quality of player. Every player will have a ceiling. As it stands right now, I think Kingsley, Kent, Shankland are probably of a quality where they could go on and play for bigger teams. Vargas has the potential, of course he does. But the rest of them, I think they're almost at their ceiling. And then when you're asking them to go up against a better opposition, way, the quality, it pays dividends in the end. I think it's just that quality across the park is what cost us.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the players you mentioned, they're the three that you would say, yeah, if they did move on to bigger and better things, maybe they would turn around and be surprised, I think. But for the others, especially, and the opposite of that, I think there's players in the team that are maybe at the club and they're just not cut out for that level. So they're maybe shooting a little bit higher than they probably should be. But yeah, I think you're right. You do get what you pay for. This has been the age-old problem with us and the other guys that swim in our pond versus Rangers and Celtic. It's the same reason why we turn up against Livy. It's like you're absolutely expecting a result and to smash them and to have our quality absolutely just batter them just through sheer attrition, because we've paid a lot of money for our team by comparison to what they have. We've got better players than they do, and then the same is true when we look at Rangers and Celtic. So yeah, totally agree.
And I think you look at the first goal time, you're right in what you say in terms of smash it into the stand or smash somebody onto the ground and face them up for a free kick or a throw-in or whatever. But I actually think that what you see in the opening goal is our game plan is to bring them onto us,
yeah,
to hit triggers so that we can go press them. They've put bodies forward. We're looking to try and get the ball. So I think what you're trying to see is we're trying to recycle the ball back to someone that can get the ball forward so we can quickly counter. And I'm thinking, right, well, we're 4 minutes into the game. Like, just take a bit of responsibility and say, do you know what, a free kick or a corner or a throw in here is, let's just take it, if you know what I mean. And I have made my opinions pretty clear on Kai Rowles before. Right? And again, I think he's a very tidy football player. I think he's a good defender, all right. I think he's a very good defender, but he doesn't have any form of ruthless streak. And I said in the Chew in the Hearts one there, I likened it to your pros that we've looked up to over the years, a Presley, a Webster. They'd put somebody. We actually talked about it when Rangers beat us 1-0 at Tynecastle with McCausland, and a Robbie Nielsen, a Paul Hartley, a Webster, a Presley, somebody would have flattened him instantly. Just put a marker down. Just say, look, you're not doing this today. And if you are, you're going to have to be on your absolute very best, because you're not going to get there. And there's just something about Kai Rowles. I just don't see that from him. I just don't see that ruthless streak in him. And I think you see that in the aggression towards the first goal. He's been bullied, ragdolled all season. off Cyril Dessers. I think Cyril Dessers has scored 19 goals this season. Six of them have come against Hearts. That's mental.
Seriously. I checked that. He's only scored
Also, I was going to say that could also be made up, by the way.
He's played against Hearts four times and scored four goals. He's had a double twice. So
still, though, out of 19 goals, that's quite a high percentage, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rawls gives me the fear at times. And I heard somebody saying on Sunday that he's like buying Zalioukas off of Wish.com, i.e. you know perfectly well he's ready for a mistake, but he's not quite the full level. And it's right. Again, like you said earlier on, Heart of Midlothian Football Club is the biggest level or the highest level he will get to in football.
You liken it to Balogun coming in for Rangers, and look at his performance compared to Rowles.
Yeah.
And to Kent as well. I don't think Kent covered himself in glory on Sunday. I don't think Kent had one of his better games. But you're just looking, Balogun won everything in the air. We wiped the man out when he needed to and won the ball. We did aggressive slide tackles, the ones that get you off your seat when he could have just tapped out, but he does the whole slide across and gets the crowd up, etc. We just didn't have that. I've not seen that for Kai Rowles at all. He's tidy on the ball. He's a good defender, but he just doesn't have that ruthless streak in him. Mm-hmm. Before everybody loses their mind, he's no solely to blame for the first goal. It's terrible defending right across Everton. Everton's terrible. Everton's bad about that first goal and the second goal as well. But just, I don't know. There's something about him that I just would like him to be a bit more aggressive, a bit more ruthless.
Yeah. Absolutely fair.
Midfield, Tam, was a big one for me, where it was just telling. I think you touched on it there. Todd Cantwell essentially looked like he ran the show, same with Lundstrom. That's an area for Hearts that we've been speaking about for what feels like 10, 15 years. It's becoming the new, since we got Shankland, that was a conversation we used to have is we've never had a goal scorer. Now it feels like we've just not had a midfielder that's a midfield general that goes box to box and can grab a game and players by the scruff of the neck and make them better. That was glaring on Sunday as well, wasn't it?
But you're right. We certainly, I would have loved Nurnhoff to be available. I know he's not a full package yet, but I think he's that sort of link we need to have. That when you play a Devlin and a Benny together, it's Devlin does his. I thought Devlin had a good game. Once he got booked, he was kind of. Decision was made to take him off at that point. And I don't understand the fallout that we've had online about Benny being the worst player in the world and not having a good game. I must have watched a completely different game at the stadium because I thought he'd actually had a very good game. Oh, did you? Good.
My only thing that's slightly different is, I've said this before, we've done this with Boyce, we've done this with Mackay. Nieuwenhof grows in stature every game he misses. Let's know. He's been coming on to a game, which is great to see, but I see Nieuwenhof playing on Sunday and boxing that midfield and staying up all Hart League on box to box, making tackles, shooting, scoring. That's not his game either, and I don't think it's Danda's, and I'm not sure that it's Spittle's. So it's definitely an area that we need to address in the transfer market for me.
Are you right? Look at Lundstrom there. I know I spoke about the quality of Cantwell, but Lundstrom was winning everything, recycling the ball. Everyone was a forward pass, and we just didn't have that same level of it. So it's that out and out. What do you call it now? A number six these days, but that's what we need.
They call it a running six.
Running six.
Yeah, a running six and a sitting eight or a running eight and a sitting eight. Faddy stuff.
But yeah, no, I think that's certainly a priority. That we need. We've got another two number 10s coming in, plus two at the club already with Boyce and Grant. I think it's someone in the deeper midfield we need now.
We spoke about it in the other chat about the, obviously, Hart Standard did a bit of a review of the game and did stills and paused the game and showed all of the opportunities, etc., that obviously look glaring. My opinion with that, and I'd be interested to get yours, Tam, since we've already spoke to Kevin and Ando about it, is that if we're going to start going down that road, you have to start doing that with all of the times Rangers had men over and picked the wrong choice. It's no, it doesn't tell the whole story. Didn't know the opportunities.
No, certainly not. I think, especially with passing, we like there were certain times we didn't have enough bodies in the right place. It wasn't just about the pass or the overall chance that was then created. Or you, I know we've not discussed the second half as such yet, but there's a few times that still has been put up when Vargas robs Suter and he can cut it to Forrest. When you're watching that real time, the cut to Forrest isn't as easy as just passing it across. But
yeah, you pause it, it looks like he's got all the time in the world. And
Exactly that. And then whereas at the game I was like screaming and I'm shooting, I wasn't seeing Forrest there. So it's difficult to do, but it's all your favourite phrase of if your auntie had buzz stuff, like it's pretty much that. And that's I suppose where the immaturity comes in. These players wouldn't be at Hearts if they were making the right pass every single time or creating the right opportunity every single time. It's if we had that consistency, we'd be right up there. Put that in.
Yeah. And listen, that's not to rule it. We did have opportunities, right? We created opportunities and we did make the wrong pass at the wrong time. That's undeniable. Like you take that. But for me, that's football. Every football game has that. You know, if you paused at an exact point, it's the argument we have with offsides, isn't it? You know, you pause it, and if you're looking for something, you'll see it, and that's what I think we're doing now with the revisionism of the game is we're looking at it. But actually, for me, I've rewatched the game. Rangers were comfortable. That's the truth. That's the honest opinion of that. Is we could have made them uncomfortable, but they get a goal early. Any of the nerves that they had of the past couple of games and the stalling in the league. They go. Well, they're now in the driving seat. They now can be a bit more cautious with the ball. They can make us go into the areas of the park where they want us to be. They dictate what happens from there. And that's where I think people are seeing the benefit of Lundstrom's performance and Cantwell's performances, because that's what good midfielders do. They make the team move. They dictate where the team goes. They dictate the tempo in which the team's playing in. Which then in turn means Benny's chasing shadows, Devlin's chasing shadows, Grant's chasing shadows. And I think you've seen that throughout the game. We did play well, we did grow into the game, and then points, we made Rangers uncomfortable. But did you ever at any point feel like, you know what it's like, we've all been in games. We played against Dundee, we were 2-0 down. And I, even watching the game, I was like, if we get a goal here, like we'll get 2, we'll get 3, we'll get 4. And against Rangers, at no point when I was watching it did I think, aye, we've got them absolutely under the cosh here. I just never felt that way at the game. I felt that Rangers were comfortable, which is bitterly disappointing.
Aye, you're spot on, right. Especially when we thought we were getting a foothold into the game. They could then go score that second goal. So
Ando, Kev, we've been watching Hearts long enough. That's just what Celtic and Rangers do. Do you know what I mean? I always say, I hate looking at the clock and seeing, right, there's a minute, 2 minutes to half-time, because they normally, 9 times out of 10, that's when they score. They score just before half-time, and it sucks the life out of anything that you do. I look back to Celtic in the Cup at Tynecastle, where Aaron Moy scored after 90 seconds. We have the Gino chance, we make them uncomfortable, we grow into the game, and 2 minutes before half-time, Kyogo scores and makes it 2-0, and the game's dead.
Yeah,
brilliant. Like that's what it was, and that was what it felt like for me, Ando, on Sunday, was that they just killed the game off when they needed to. They stepped up a gear, got to the second, and shot us dead.
More or less, aye. Can't argue with any of that. I think that we had been doing well in spells of the game, but again, just toothless, hand over fist, absolutely toothless. And while it wasn't apparently obvious, you always just felt that Rangers, if they needed to, could step up a gear, and that's exactly what they did. It can come as no surprise or shock to anybody that's how the game finished. There's always a potential for that when you play these, and it all circles back to the same point you made about 20 minutes ago, which is they've got that quality and depth in their squad to be able to flex the muscle and do that.
Yeah, exactly. And but Kev, the positives for that is that if we build, and so far our dealings in the transfer window for next season look like they are domestically shrewd acquisitions, but we do need to we need to build on that foundation, because someone had said, and I mentioned it on the other thing about the moving the quality on in the squad, we've had some of these players have been around now for a while, your Barry McKay's, your Boyce, your Devlin's, your Benny's, Kingsley even fall into those brackets, Halkett, they're all been here and got us this far. How do we then push the envelope, so to speak, to get to the next level?
Yeah, I think you are right, but you've got to be very cautious. You've got to be very astute in regards to the way in which you do that. I think there's a number of people that will probably in the summer. So you've got guys like Benny possibly moves on. You probably look at, you know, maybe others. We've spoken before about maybe somebody like Atkinson, for example. Yeah, you might look to move Rowles on as well. You might look to move Devlin, McKay. I think what you've got to be clever with is understand that there are still players at the club who I believe can take that further step. Kingsley's only 29. He could take that next step, but he needs the good people around him. And it's in sport, and a lot of sports anyway, having better players around about you takes you to another level.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's one thing I think you've got to look at. Yes, you're right. The alleged signings, as of course the club have not came out and said anything at this moment in time, but the alleged signings are all good domestic players that, when you consider what we need for next season, is definitely the right way of going about it. They will be able to play in certain European matches and hold their head up. But again, it's about, for me anyway, it's about cementing third place again. Getting third place next season is a massive, massive thing for me, because, as we have said on this podcast number of times, you start to then build a pot of money, and that pot of money allows you to buy a slightly better quality player and put them on slightly better quality wages. And you start to then develop a gap between ourselves, Aberdeen, Dundee United, Hibs, Motherwell, St Johnstone, whoever it may be. And that's the only way, again, going back to what we said earlier on, it's that stepping stone into closing the gap on those two at the top.
Yeah.
And it's just being clever and being sensible.
Being clever and sensible, is the fans have got to understand that closing the gap at Celtic Rangers is a pipe dream, right? It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen unless we get an oligarch comes in from somewhere and gives us millions, billions potentially to change it. Because everything, the infrastructure of the club, top to bottom, has to change. Every single bit of the club would have to change. Mentality, recruitment, scouting, training, facilities, everything would have to change to even scratch the surface of being able to lay a glove on Celtic and Rangers. That's just, unfortunately, the landscape in which we live in, right? That's not me belittling the club. It's great that the club has ambition. I love that and I back it all the time. But what the club has to do now is, we said this before when we were talking about Robbie's situation. When Robbie's first season, we finished third when we come back up. Then we finished fifth and then sixth and then 12th. We went backwards. We reclined from a position of strength. Now we were third. Then we dropped slightly back to fourth last season after, albeit being a terrible season for us with the collapse. But we've righted that wrong straight away and we're back to third now. So if fourth is the barometer for a bad season, you know, if the absolute worst season we ever have is fourth, we're always going to be above your... That means that Aberdeen are going to have to consistently find the rhythm to beat us and get to third, something that they've not done for 20, 30 years. Hibs suddenly have to get a momentum where they finish third. They've done it three times in 24 years, so 11 times in the top six. So that's not going to have to happen. So they have to change their infrastructure, their short-term history to get near us. And that's, I'm with you, that's what becomes important. Next season is becoming third again, and then third the following season, and third the following season. It's not because it gets us closer to Celtic and Rangers. It's because it genuinely cuts all of the teams below us out. We stranglehold that position. We get all of the best European places. You get the best of the rest players. We become that beacon. And that's why Saturday's result with Celtic and Aberdeen was, for me, the bigger result out of us. Yes, I would have loved us to have won the cup. But Aberdeen, if they'd got two seasons worth of the £5, £6, £7 million from Europe, that puts them in the position of strength come the transfer window. No one's going to care that they finished ninth this season. They're going to care, well, actually, we've got European football next season and we played in Europe this year. And with that, it's bigger money, bigger crowds, bigger opportunities. They're going to be a more lucrative and attractive club to go to than us, which is why it's so important that we stranglehold Ford. So there's loads to be positive about. You know, loads. So, Sunday was a kick in the teeth, right? But 150 years, no wins at Hampden versus Rangers. It's no new, right? It's not like we've never been kicked in the teeth before, right? For you to win a cup, if you look through all of our league, our cup triumphs in our lifetimes, you need things to fall in your place. You know, 98, we get a dodgy penalty in the opening minute. We managed to score and our goalkeeper has a great day and Rangers have an off day and you win it. Brilliant. We get a dodgy penalty in 2012 in the semi-final v Celtic. They hit the post. They have a goal chopped off for offside. Things have to fall your way. We just didn't have that on Sunday. Plus, it coupled with a poor performance as well.
And there can't be many teams that, in all honesty, have put both Celtic and Rangers out of the cup in the same season to win it, I don't think.
Yep.
Be interested to see if there is anybody, and that's what would have been asked of us to actually win the cup this season, is actually put both Celtic and Rangers out.
Yep.
But we go again next year. You know, that's, we're all thick skinned, let's be truthfully honest.
Yeah.
We're all stupid.
You can't win it unless you're there. So you've got to get to these bits first, and that's what it is. It's just that you're hoping that you learn from those mistakes. And momentum's a big thing. That's what I spoke about there before. I know we've been to four of the last six, but momentum's a big thing. You know, we finished third, got to the final, got beat. Then the next season, our season implodes and we sack our manager because we've blown third again. Now this season, we've finished third comfortably. We've got to both semi-finals of the cup, ultimately lost to potentially the winner of the competition. So next season is about, again, right, well, keep that momentum going, keep that positive momentum going, let's get to another semi-final, give ourselves the next opportunity, because playing at Hampden is going to help a lot. It's no surprise that in 2006, at the height of our powers, we had Craig Gordon, Robbie Nielsen, Andy Webster, Stephen Presley, Paul Hartley, all of them were in the Scotland setups. All of them were playing at Hampden. All of them were going there, playing there, training there, having showers there, changing there. They get used to playing there all the time. It's not a novelty. You know, I know it sounds mad, but you want to look at the mentalities of the clubs, Aberdeen and Hearts, Celtic and Rangers. Aberdeen lost in potentially the cruelest way you can. I seen the Aberdeen captain posting pictures with his wife and kids on the pitch after the game, which maybe a nice family moment or whatever. But Todd Cantwell wouldn't have been out there with his wife and kids, had Hearts not done it on a Sunday. Because it's no a day trip. It's no something to look back on and be proud of. Whereas for them, oh, that's a big day for us. I've never been to Hampden. It's a family event. It's well done for getting there type thing. Let's get a picture and remember the time we lost on penalties to a terrible Celtic team. And that's that. It's a mentality switch, and that was 2006 with those players that were playing at Hampden constant. So next year, if we get there again, then this group of players get what it's like to be in the changing room. What did the pre-match routine the last time that didn't work that they can put right this time? What did they as a management team this time that they never done the last time? Like, there's loads of different things. You know, there's loads of things that can get better, but you've got to be there for it to matter. Tam, anything else in the semi that caught your eye that you wanted to talk about that we haven't spoke about already?
I wish our players would just shoot, man. I know that sounds ridiculous, yeah, but just take a shot.
It was my head in on Sunday, and it doesn't help that you're miles away at Hampden. So, like, and especially in the first half, every single time we drove forward, I thought we were in like the 6 yard line or something. Because you can't see it. I can just see their ankles. And I'm like, why are we not shooting? We feel like we're like 12 yards to go. And then I look up to the big screen and I'm like, we're not even in their half yet.
So what happens when you're in row two, though, isn't it?
That is very true.
I was in a similar row.
That
so
is
I
very,
know
very
you,
true.
Yeah. But no, there's a few opportunities I want to just, even when you're at the edge of the box, though, just shoot. Test the keeper.
Did you notice that we never wore all maroon?
Didn't, actually.
Yeah, we wore white socks.
Hopefully. My brother called it out straight away. He was raging.
Well, I'm thankful. I hate that thing. That's not worked for ages. Get rid of it. We didn't wear all maroon when we wore our traditional kit for 2012, didn't we?
Yes.
We had maroon
it's
top, white.
It's behind that, those left shoulder eye. There you go.
Yeah, I can see my Rudy with the maroon, white, maroon on.
Yep.
So this whole maroon thing, getting the bin. Like, I was happy to see the white socks on one hang with.
But I wanted us to play in the white top, to be honest. I wanted to see us play in the third top.
That would have been class.
That, to me, would have been class. And you then start to think, I mean, this is all, you know, hindsight, of course it is, but you then start to think, what does this actually mean for the club? 150 years, same with the Scottish... You know, all these little things, you know, you do think, does that change a mindset? Does that, you know, and I would guess it probably doesn't, for the point of view that that's probably been discussed and spoken about in the changing rooms, even if it's just within, you know, a few players. But I personally would have liked to have seen them come out with that strip on.
I like that top too much to have heartache attached to it. The last time we wore it, we'd get beat after.
I get you.
So, I didn't want us to also have a semi-final defeat in it as well. Right. Kelly on Saturday, would they review as in we'll do our predictions in a minute, but let's do the top 6 points prediction first and then give me your score result for what you think Kilmarnock and how that plays into what you think we will get for our points haul. So we obviously play Kilmarnock first away, Celtic away, Dundee at home, St Mirren away, Rangers at home. Thomas, of the 15 points available, how many points do you think Heart of Midlothian Football Club will garner between now and the end of the season?
Five.
Okay. We'll see if the Kilmarnock points are in that five in a minute. Ando, how many points do you think?
Tam, you're upsetting me because you're talking about that cultural shift within the fan base. You need to lead by example, so fuck you. I'm going to go for 9 points.
Okay, nice. That will be our best points return in the top six ever, which matches the 2006 George Burley season where we won 3 matches.
Easy, man. I'll tell you why when we get to the end of this.
So I'm going to go with 8. 8 points, might be 7, but yeah, I'm going to go positive and look at 8 points.
Nice. Okay.
And you?
I am going to go the opposite and say that Hearts will get 3 points.
Yeah,
get 3 points from the top six.
Okay,
right, going in, Tam, give us your prediction for Saturday versus Kilmarnock. What is the score?
This is 1 of 4 points, but it'll be 1-1, so 1 point.
So a draw.
Yes.
Ando?
I know I said in the other recording we done that it was going to be a score draw. I'm more bullish. I think it's going to be an away win, 2-0 Hearts.
Hello. Kev?
Yeah, I'm sticking with what I said earlier on as well. 2-0 Hearts.
Nice. I'm sticking with what I said earlier, which was 1 or 2-0 to Kilmarnock. I think our only points will come at home at Dundee. I think we'll beat Dundee at Tynecastle and lose the rest, would be my prediction.
Can I
hopefully
add,
I'm wrong.
Let's say an unknown vector or quantity into this, which is because I have... is it almost to all intents and purposes he's been banned from Tynecastle now forever. I probably won't be back between now and the end of the season. So does that sway any change in your thinking?
No.
Fair enough.
No.
One thing Naismith has done this season, and you said it on radio or Open Goal. I've heard a lot of you this week, but you said he's broke records, so he might change your fortunes in the post-split.
That's true. For the people that don't know our average points top, haul in the top six in the past 2 decades, we average 3 points in the top six. That's our average points. So hopefully I'm wrong. I genuinely hope I'm wrong. I would like this team to end the season with some momentum, but I just have a feeling that Sunday was a kick in the teeth for them. I'm looking now and thinking, well, if Benny's not signing, why waste any time with Benny being in the team? Was Cochrane not playing for similar reasons? Is Cochrane away pastures new? Do we see Shankland actually just drop out the team for Tagawa. We start planning for maybe life without Shankland. I don't know. There's loads of things at play. Shankland luckily has still loads to play for because he wants to be top goal scorer in the league. And Rangers, between now and the end of the season, as the SFA try to get them to win the title, will probably get 2 penalties a game. So probably end the season on like 40 goals, all from the penalty spot. But you never know. You never know. Hopefully I'm proved wrong, and we roll into Kilmarnock on Saturday and roll away home with 3 points. That would be ideal. Right, troops. See you all on Sunday. Hopefully discussing another glorious Hearts victory.
Fingers crossed.
Night.
Night, night.
Catch you later.
Gorgoros.